650, 1320 WILS. So imagine you're at sea, and then imagine you fall off the boat, and then imagine you're in the water fighting for your life. My next guest went right through that. John Aldridge with us. He's the author of the book, A Speck in the Sea, A Story of Survival and Rescue, and that's what he did. John, great to have you on WILS.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you're a professional fisherman, right?
Yes, we're lobster fishermen.
And you're based out of where exactly?
Montauk, New York.
Okay, and how long had you been fishing before this incident happened?
About 19 years or so, you know.
19 years, so you knew how to maneuver yourself around a boat, I'm guessing, then.
Well, basically complacency kills, right?
So this happened in 2013. What time of year was this?
It was July. God, really, yeah.
Now, how do you end up falling off of the boat?
Well, we fish 60 miles from land. It's about a nine-hour ride for us. So, three guys on the boat, two guys go to sleep, and one guy stays at watch, and we rotate through the night. On my watch, I was, getting the boat ready to start fishing for the next morning, and being that our boat is full of water, it's basically a big fish tank. All the lobster and crab go under the deck in these big tanks.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting that ready, and I was moving a cooler off of one of the hatches, and as I was pulling on the handle, it had snapped, and basically sent me out the back of the boat. The back of our boat doesn't have a back or a transom to it. The traps slide off the deck into the water. So there was nothing really to stop me.
Is this nighttime or daytime this happened?
Yeah, it's 2:30 in the morning.
Jeez, okay. So you fall into the darkness, you fall in the water, and what was your first thought when you go in?
Oh, my God, I'm going to die. You know, nobody in the world knows I'm even missing right now. My crew was asleep. They couldn't hear me screaming or anything. You know, they were sound asleep up in the bow of the boat.
Did you have a safety or life jacket on?
I had nothing. I just had my boots, my shorts, and a T-shirt. Jeez. And my pocket knife.
And was this a real wavy, windy moment then in the water?
Or? Yeah, I mean, there was a 4-foot swell going on. It was just after a storm, basically, so there was a little residual effect from that. There was like a little bit of a moon left at night, you know, so it was a little bit of light.
Mm-hmm.
But the boat was gone within seconds, you know.
Jeez.
Basically, the boat was on autopilot.
Oh, my
you
God.
Know?
So off it goes. John Aldridge with us. The book is A Speck in the Sea, A Story of Survival and Rescue. And, wow, so you're in the water now. The boat just disappears. And what do you do over the next hour or so?
I realized I was about to drown, you know. I mean, you're in a panic, you know. You can't believe what had just happened to you. You know, today's the day you're going to die. Who gets to know that, you know? And so I was about to drown, basically, and I realized my boots were very buoyant. So I had taken them off and emptied the water out of the boot and pushed them back down into the water and created an air pocket in the boot and put one under each arm and basically made a life jacket out of it.
Amazing. And how long were you in the water, then?
Estimated 12, 13 hours.
12 to 13 hours. So as the hours go by, the sun comes up at some point, right?
Yeah. I was in the water probably 3 hours before the sunrise.
Is there any land that you can see at all at that point?
No, we're 40 miles away. Land's way, way far away.
And so what's crossing your mind as you get into 6-7 hours?
Through that whole ordeal, I mean, you know, your mind plays a lot of tricks on you, and you go through ups and downs, and basically I figured out that anytime I thought negative, it was basically very seductive, very easy to die, very easy to give it up.
Mm-hmm.
And the more positive I thought, you know, like when the helicopter would fly by and not see me, I would turn it around to going, well, at least they're still looking for me. Mm-hmm. Not, they didn't see me. And that
now,
positive thinking.
How close would the helicopter be to not seeing you then?
They were flying all over, right over me and everything, and, you know, they couldn't, they didn't see me, you know.
And you're waving your hands and yelling and doing all that, okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So you're saying positive thoughts versus, in terms of negative thoughts, just how dark does it get at that point?
Well, you know, you're thinking, today's the day you're going to die. Could you accept that, you know? And I basically couldn't accept that. I couldn't accept, you know, what it would feel like to die.
You have kids, or?
No, I have a 4-year-old nephew, you know, and that really kept me going, you know, to see him, you know, And then not to be able to see him the rest, you know, the rest of his life, he's not going to have me around. I just couldn't accept that, you know. So I did everything I could, basically, to stay
so
alive.
You're talking about 12, 13 hours. So at what point do they suddenly identify where you are?
About 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, that afternoon, the helicopter had flown over me. They were basically on their last flight before they had to turn back. They were so low on fuel. And he had flown over the top of me, and I started waving the boots around, waving my hands and the boots, everything, trying to be noticed, and he had noticed me. So he turned off of me with the helicopter and sent the swimmer down, and the swimmer swam up to me and asked me how I was, you know, sir, sir, how are you doing? And I told him, I got two more days left in me.
So do they just pull you out of the water with a helicopter?
Yeah, so he basically said, you know, we've been looking for you for 9 hours, and I told him I've been looking for you for 12 hours. And he said that, you know, we got everything under control, you just relax, and within a couple of minutes, the basket fell basically right next to me, and he threw me in the basket, and up I went. It was amazing.
Now, are you a religious person?
You know, I was brought up that way. I'm not. I don't really follow too much. But,
I mean, are you praying at that point when you're in the water?
Well, you're using everything in your power you could use. You know, you know, you don't discount anything. So I was doing it all. You know, and somebody was definitely looking out for me. That's for sure.
I mean, are you reflecting on your life, or is it really just a survival moment?
Oh yeah, all day long I was reflecting on my life, but that would bring me down. You know, it was more. It was more bringing me down, worrying about what my parents were thinking or my family was thinking about me. And so I had to kind of block that out of my head, you know, and just think positively. And
Statistically, how likely was it for them to find you that way?
Well, after talking to the Coast Guard people who've been in the Coast Guard for over 30 years, you know, they've never found anybody in the water that, you know, has fallen off the boat in the North Atlantic after, you know, at night. After that long, you know, so it's just basically unheard of.
Because they don't really know where you fall, right? I mean, at what point did your boatmates realize you weren't there?
Well, they realized about 3.5 hours after I was in the water.
After you were in the water. So they wouldn't have known exactly where you fell, right?
No, because they went to bed at 9 o'clock at night, you know, and now it's 6:30 in the morning. Where's John, you know?
And then even if they follow the path of the boat, you may have very easily, you know, kind of floated away from that path.
There's current, right? Yeah. So the whole way there's current. You don't know what part I fell in, you know?
You still fish now?
Yeah, we're leaving tomorrow night.
Kidding. And anything changed? Any of your procedure changed? Anything since this incident? Or?
Yeah, so we put a tailgate on the back of the boat like you have on a pickup truck.
Okay.
So we have that. So now the back of the boat's not open, only when we're working, and people are on deck. So
And you don't have fear of going back in the water after that?
No, I mean, I got fear of going back in the water, not back on the water.
Now, do you get in the water, or do you actually have some kind of fear of being in the water, literally?
Not really, but, you know, I know better. I don't want to go in the water.
Yeah, that's not a good place to be.
Not where I work.
Do you feel lucky, then, to be alive, or how would you describe it?
Every day is a blessing, you know, I mean, I've been watching my nephew grow up, and everything that's happened to me since, it's like, you know, every day is a free day, you know, and you take it for granted. You know, we're on the back deck of the boat, everything's great, and then in the next second, I'm in, you know, the worst day of my life.
It all changes. You said you had 2 days in you. That's what you told the rescuers. Is that true?
Well, in that mode I was in my brain, there was nothing that was going to let me bother me, so I mean, I came out of the water at 93 degrees, and basically the doctor had told me that no matter how tough or strong you think you are, you only had about 2 more degrees before your body would give up on you, you know?
Just go in. Wow. John Aldridge, the book is A Speck in the Sea, A Story of Survival and Rescue, his remarkable story of surviving something that almost nobody ever does. A Speck in the Sea, John Aldridge, right here on WILS. Thank you, John.
Thank you for having me.